How's it going, Buster?
Good.
Excellent. Excellent news. Did you guys see that picture of John Brownlee's mustache on Instagram?
Well, unfortunately, yeah. I did, yeah.
Yeah, that's like, wow.
One image I wish I hadn't seen.
It's kind of early to do it for Movember, though, because Movember doesn't start for another 12 days.
Right.
My feeling, you shouldn't need an excuse to grow a mustache is the way I
feel. That's what I'm saying. I agree.
I mean, if No Shave November or Movember or whatever is your excuse, then you know what? It's time for you to be a man.
Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. I'm here with my friends and fellow Apple philosophers. The king himself, Leander Caney, is here. Hey, Leander.
Hello. Hello, dirty little peasants.
Long live you.
Indeed.
And Buster Hine is here with us as well. Hey, Buster.
Hey, guys.
Welcome back.
Another surf. Yeah.
Another surf for His Majesty. And boy, do we have a lot of stuff to talk about this week. And then, of course, next week is going to be even better. We've got some new Apple announcements. But actually, before we jump into all that great stuff, let me say this. This show is sponsored by the fine folks at DigiDNA, our longest standing sponsor. And they're great. And they've got a really cool product called Discade 5 that if you've ever listened to the show, I'm sure you probably know about. But I'm going to talk a little bit more about it later in the show, tell you how you can win a license and how you can get a discount on the best iPhone, iPod, and iPad transfer tool for Mac and PC. I want to thank DigiDNA for sponsoring the show. They keep the wheels churning, greasing up the wheels, and we appreciate that. Hey, you guys probably won't be excited about this, but I am. Apple is expected to finalize their Lightning guidelines with accessory makers on November 7th.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you are excited about this.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited.
You know, in my mind, I was thinking between the three of us, you were going to be the least excited, Buster.
I'm being sarcastic right now.
Sarcasm doesn't really come across, you know.
You fooled me. You fooled me. Shame on me. So basically what that means is, you know, if you've gone to the Apple store, you've probably noticed they're really in really low supply on adapters for your 30-pin connectors and that kind of thing. The cables as well. I mean, and, you know, it sucks because I used to have chargers laying all over my house, in my car, for my iPhone, but no longer. Now I'm literally tethered to my cable at all times. That stupid Lightning cable comes with me everywhere I go. And it really annoys me.
Why don't you buy another cable?
Because every time I go to my Apple store, they're out of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So at least I think they're out of them. I never ask. I just walk around and look. They're probably there somewhere.
Probably right there. Oh, man.
I'm like, how are you guys still out of Lightning cables? He's like, we have 400 in the back, sir.
Yeah, right, exactly. They're on the shelf, you know, they have all the, you know, I went to the little one, and I didn't think they were there. I stood there for hours in front of the display looking for them.
They're by the headphones.
The guy goes, yeah, there they are, and they were right in front of my face. Went bright red.
That's probably what happened. What's going on with me.
Anyway, why are we talking about this?
Well, hold on. This is important. So basically what that means is that you're going to start seeing third-party cables and you know, 30-pin connectors in that time, or 30-pin adapters sometime in the future. Probably. Yeah, and hopefully they'll be cheaper because the Apple ones, if anything, are not cheap. So just wanted to put that out there, Leander. Sorry,
that
Your Majesty.
That's the big news of the day. I mean,
that's the show conference we have for you today. Yeah, thanks for listening to the Cultcast.
We'll see the iPad Mini coming out next week. No point in talking about that because Lightning cables are going to be on the horizon.
Yeah. Well, hold on. I also want to mention this before we jump into all that great stuff because we got a good listener email, and this definitely ties into new Apple products. This is from Tyler Fitch. He emailed me, and you can too. Airfon@cultamac.com. He says, hey guys, love the podcast. Thank you, Tyler. Quick question. With the arrival of refreshed iPods, it's obvious Apple is going to continue producing them. The real question is, do you guys think they are relevant anymore? So many people decide to simply use their iPhone as a music player. Keep up the good work. XOXO. I added that part. Tyler. Well, Leander, you have actually been using the new iPods. Is that correct?
Yeah. Picked them up last night. My son saved up his birthday money and really wanted the new iPod Touch.
Huh?
So after I made him clear the entire house and underneath the deck with his brother, I took him down there last night.
Oh, I can only imagine how horrendous that job was.
Right, well,
your deck.
It definitely is, you know, Dickensian. I made him clean the chimneys.
Is he also going to have to do the review on it?
Huh? Is he going to what?
Is he going to have to do the review on it as well?
Well, I made him do some of the pictures, but he's today.
There you go. If you wonder why Leander's review seems like it was written by an 11-year-old.
It was.
It actually could have gone either way, but there's a possibility it was his son.
I can tell the difference, really.
Well, so, Leander, the question goes to you then. Do you think that new iPods are still relevant?
Yeah. Are people crazy? Are they absolutely out of their minds? It's absolutely awesome. It's a great little computer for a kid.
Uh-huh.
People think, oh, it's an iPod. And I'm looking at all. I was looking at some of the other reviews, and they always compare them to the previous generation of the iPod. And I think they're absolutely missing the point, because these are the new generation computers. I mean, you would be crazy to buy a kid a computer, a laptop, or anything else when you can get them an iPod Touch, or an iPad. But an iPod Touch is a perfect computer for a kid. You know, it plays games. It's totally connected.
Huh.
And he's already downloaded a bunch of apps for his homework. I mean, well, you know, 3 apps compared to 30 games. But you know, for my kids, the last year or so, you know, they've got some hand-me-down iPhones, and a couple of them had iPods, older iPods for Christmas, and they live on these devices. You know, everything they do is done through the iPod. I mean, this is like their iPad. You know,
interesting.
And my son, especially, you know, like the one who wanted to get this one, he's been saving up for a while to get one. And, you know, he's quite a keen photographer, mm-hmm. and he wanted it for the camera. I mean, it's got a really nice camera on it. And he's getting really good at taking pictures and putting them up onto Instagram. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen some really, really awesome stuff. And also in doing iMovie. So, you know, we downloaded iMovie, and now he can edit and share videos on it. And he's also downloaded some apps for his homework. There's an he uses this iTranslate Spanish English dictionary for his Spanish homework all the time. So and the calculator, of course, for his math homework. So you know, the other one was like a little bit pokey, and it wasn't quite fast enough, and the camera wasn't very good. So for him, I think it's an awesome.
You got him the Touch.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He bought it himself.
Oh right. Yeah. Good for him. Good on him for saving up for that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you think that the primary market for iPods, this is the way it seems to me, is, you know, younger kids?
Yeah, it's for kids. It's a kid's iPhone.
Right.
That's why they've matched the screen and the camera. And
they put a lanyard on it so the clumsy kid wouldn't drop it.
Right, totally. Huh. And I talked about upgrading his phone, and, you know, like, because I said, why don't you put that money towards, because he just got a hand-me-down iPhone. He's got an iPhone 3GS. And I said, so what do you want 2 iOS devices for? Mm-hmm. Well, he wants a nicer device. He doesn't want to take it out of the house because he might lose it or he might get robbed.
Mm-hmm. He might get robbed. Way to throw that in there.
Central San Francisco, you know. I mean, he's a pretty ghetto school, public school.
Huh.
But, you know, he says, I don't want the responsibility. So this is, you know, he wanted the nicer device, but he doesn't want something that he has to take with him, like a phone.
Sure. Well, how do you like the new Nano? You've been testing it out yourself, or did you make your son do that too?
I got that one, it's really nice. It's impossibly small and thin. I was really shocked at how small and thin it was.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the last one was like a little square with a little touchscreen, that was almost kind of too small. This one is really small. It's only a couple of.
It was too small and too thin. You reminded me of that Saturday Night Live sketch that I posted on Cultimac.
Oh, yeah. the recent one.
Yeah. Leander, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. So any other thoughts on the iPod Nano or the iPod Touch? So it sounds like you really like them.
Yeah, the Nano's a beautiful device as well. And of course, it's an exercise iPod, right? This is the iPod that you take to the gym, the one you take running. And it's the one thing missing, I guess, is the clip to be able to clip it onto your shirt or your shorts.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, you know, it's got built-in Nike and a stopwatch and a timer. And it actually goes, it's got a really nice clock. I mean, this would be interesting to see if people come out with wristbands for this, so you can wear it on your wrist.
Oh, no, don't start.
Quite well suited for that. You could wear it on your wrist.
Really? Isn't it like kind of long and rectangular, though?
Well, yeah, it is a bit. I mean, it does my wrist.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a wrist mount for the iPad mini, because that would make an excellent watch. Don't you guys think? Just have it mounted right there on your wrist.
Right. Yeah. Like is a control panel there on your forearm.
That would actually be pretty cool.
But I like the Nano. I think it's, you know, pretty good. I think it's a pretty, it's a very, very compelling, you know, it's like a piece of jewelry. It's a very, very nice, really beautifully made. Hmm. No compromises.
Well, there you have it. I mean, I think that, like I said earlier, the iPods are definitely kind of, they're going to be marketed towards that younger audience. Because, I mean, for us adults, right, we all have iPhones. And I can't imagine that you're going to take your iPhone and an iPod Nano into the gym with you. That just doesn't make sense.
No, I do it.
Do you really?
Yeah. I leave my iPhone in my locker and then put – well, I don't go to the gym, but, like, I'll go jogging at a track and I'll just leave my iPhone in my car and just take my iPod Nano. But it's the old one, the really small one.
Oh, okay. Is that why you take it? Because it's small and light?
Yeah, it's really small. So it's like I don't have to have – and it has that clip on the back, so you don't have to buy any accessories to keep your iPhone with you or whatever like that. So and it's really great for hiking, I think.
Huh. Well, then there you go. See, I just go to the gym, and it's like I'm not like jumping around or anything. Yeah, I'm just lifting like 300-400 pounds at a time, but I'm stationary when I'm doing that.
It's like so, no – right?
Stuff in your face with the.
What'd you say, Leander? I think you cut out.
Oh, sorry. I said you're probably sitting in the juice bar, stuffing your face with power bars.
Yeah, that's what I do actually when I go to the gym. And then I do one like super heavy push, like chest press or something, and then I'm done. You should see my chest. It's just huge now. My muscles are so big in my chest now that I don't really even have to do any other exercise because they just eat so many calories. You guys should try it. I'm going to write a book about it, the Airfon method of working out. But hey, let's get to the real news. As you alluded to earlier, Leander, and tried to jump the gun on us, we've got an invitation. Well, we didn't get one. Apple sent out invitations for a new media event on October 23rd, which is Tuesday, and they were very cheeky, and they said they had a little bit more to talk about with us. Or, I'm sorry, a little bit more to show us.
It kind of sounded a little bit like a, I don't know. Well, never mind. I was going to say something sexual.
Okay, yeah. I wish you would have gone all the way with that. You need to commit and just do it.
I got scared. I had to back down.
So we're expecting new iPad minis finally, and I'm really excited about these. The more I think about it, the more excited I get, actually. So let's talk a little bit about more of what we expect at the event. And, of course, the main thing, obviously, is going to be the iPad minis. And there's been a couple of surprise pieces of information that have come about recently. We originally thought that the iPad mini was just going to be Wi-Fi only. It was going to be really basic. But now we're hearing that it's going to have an LTE option, which to me is kind of a big deal because that if you could get a small iPad mini with LTE for, you know, $150 less or more than the regular iPad, that's a pretty, pretty good deal. I don't know why you would need the bigger iPad. Can you guys think of a reason that you would want one that's larger?
If you want more screen size and, you know, better graphics.
Better camera.
Yeah.
That's all good points, actually.
iPad will have way better specs. iPad mini will be more portable.
Yeah, and cheaper.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and it'll be sold on price.
Yeah, so as long as we're talking about price, so a supposed price spec has leaked. And these prices are insane. I was actually really surprised when I saw this. So they're expecting an 8 gigabyte mini model to sell for $249, which for an iPad running iOS 6 is insanely cheap. I don't know how Kindle can compete with that, Amazon's Kindle. I mean, because, right, the Kindle has always kind of competed on price. And the huge amount of, you know, content that Amazon sells, like of movies and that type of thing. But of course, it's always kind of not been really strong in the app department. So now you have a $250 tablet that has huge access to all these different apps. I think this thing's going to sell like crazy at $250. Would you guys agree?
I think it'll be really popular. Yeah, at $250. I know a lot of people are going to ditch their iPad for just the mini instead.
I've actually been thinking about doing that same thing. So a 32 gigabyte Wi-Fi only is, or I'm sorry, 16 is going to be $349. The 32 is going to be $449. But here's the crazy part is you can get a 32 iPad mini with LTE. And of course, this is all rumored. None of this is final yet, of course. But for $549, that's crazy. That is way cheaper than I paid for the exact same, memory and cellular spec for my new iPad, which I think with tax and everything cost me like $800.
Right. Yeah. This is definitely going to expand the market for the iPad. I mean, it's bringing it to, you know, the more sort of price sensitive aspect of the market. And it's exactly what Apple did with the iPod, you know, which is offering a range of devices at different sizes, different specs and different use cases. And of course, different prices as well.
Yeah, right.
I think it's mostly an this is like an education machine. I'll bet they'll talk mostly about education, iBooks, yeah, and portability. You know,
I
so it's like
it's pretty big in like K through 12.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. This is a sort of next gen Mac for schools and for education institutions, and maybe even like a sort of, you know, I started thinking about it like, you know, maybe as an ebook reader, something you would take to the beach, almost like a laptop, you know, to your, if your iPad, you know, is more of a stay at home, like a desktop, then this is going to be a travel iPad.
Yeah,
for sure. Because one of the things that I've said before, switching from the iPad 2 to the iPad 3, was I didn't like the increase in weight and thickness. Sure, it was slight, I know, but once you put a case on it and everything, I mean, it's kind of a significant heft to carry around. And I really would love something that's thinner. And let's also talk about the fact that it's looking like these are going to be available in different colors. What do you guys think about that rumor?
I don't think that's true.
No, you don't think so, huh?
Definitely not true. Yeah. It'll be in black and white, and that's it.
So how do you explain all the different color splatterings all over the invite that they sent out?
What? That doesn't mean it's going to be in different colors.
I think that means that has to be what it means. There's no other explanation.
you stop it.
What was the other ridiculous thing that people were reading into that?
Well, my contention was Apple has obviously reinvented the rainbow, and they're going to be selling their new model of that October 23rd.
I was trying, like in the Colzomac chat room yesterday, I was trying to theorize it had six different colors. So maybe it was six different products, but John Brownlee quickly shot that down and told me I was stupid.
Well, that's what he does best, so don't feel bad about that. Hey, you know, I want to read you guys this query from our Facebook page. We had a listener ask a really good question about the iPad mini. And actually, before I read it, if you're interested in asking us a question, head over to facebook.com/thecultcast. You can ask us questions, suggest topics, and occasionally we give away stuff on that page. And we would love to hear from you. So facebook.com/thecultcast. This is Ryan, I'm going to try and say this, Biniecki. That's a great last name. And he wanted to know about fragmentation. So I'll paraphrase because his post was actually kind of like four paragraphs. He asked a very elaborate question. And his question basically was, you know, he's like, if the iPad has a 16:9 screen, it's only going to be able to run, you know, iPhone 5 apps. And he's concerned about fragmentation and asks us if we think this is going to be a problem because Apple keeps adding all these new devices with all these different screen resolutions.
There's not a 16:9 screen on the iPad mini, though. The screen sizes that have leaked are 4:3. So,
which is exactly the same as the regular iPad, right?
Yeah, as the regular iPad and the iPhone 4S and below.
So theoretically speaking, Apple should be able to use any app that's been made for the iPad and just shrink it down to put it on the iPad mini.
Which shouldn't be a big problem.
Yeah, so, and that would make the most sense because, you know, Ryan, I've been worried about fragmentation too, right? Because one of the things Apple has going for it is that all their screen resolutions are fairly consistent, so developers don't really have to create all these various different apps for all their various devices. So this one should be just like all the other ones, all the other iPads previously. So you should be able to run all of your apps just like you've always been able to, and you shouldn't have any problems with that. So I'm excited. like I said, having a smaller iPad announced on Tuesday is something that I think I'm going to open my wallet for. Are you guys planning on on buying one for yourself?
Yeah, I was actually planning to ditch my iPad 3 and get an iPad mini.
I might do that same thing.
Radical.
So, I got to put it on sale today. So if anybody in Phoenix wants one, I'm just saying, come over.
You could get two for that price, right?
Yeah, no, totally. I think I have the 16 gigabyte with 3G or LTE, whatever. So
hopefully. That's what I have too. Well, actually, I have the 32 and I'm like, oh, I just got it. Now I got to sell it.
Yeah.
I really love it though. Yeah, you know, if you do get the iPad mini, you're going to lose a couple things. Obviously, you're not going to have the Retina display, which I don't really think is a big deal. You're going to get a 7.85 inch screen, which is a little bit smaller. I don't really think that's a big deal too, but man, you're going to get so much in portability. It's going to be awesome. But you know what? Hey, while we're on the topic of iOS devices, let me tell you a little bit more about Discade 5, because I think it's a product that you really might like. And as I said before, DigiDNA, the makers of Discade 5, have been sponsoring our show for quite a while. Leander, you're familiar with Discade 5, am I right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, you probably use it every day for the kind of work that you do.
Oh, yeah, everything.
You use it for everything? Wow. Maybe I should let you do the read here. Well, let me tell you a little bit about what Discade 5 does. It allows you to transfer anything to and from your iPod, your iPhone, your iPad with ease. You know, a lot of times to transfer movies and music and that type of thing, you have to go through iTunes. And I like iTunes for certain things, but I've actually kind of been moving away from iTunes for a lot of different reasons, especially because Spotify has so much great music on it now. I just don't use iTunes as much. And plus, when I'm traveling, I want to be able to easily throw movies, music onto my iPad really quickly without having to put them in iTunes and then sync my iPad over the network. And that's exactly what Discade 5 lets you do. If you want, you can bypass iTunes directly. You can throw movies right onto your iPad, right onto your iPhone. And then with the sister app, File App, which is free in the App Store, and DigiDNA makes that too, you can actually consume all that content. You can watch those videos. You can listen to that music, all without ever having to use iTunes at all. But Discade does a lot more than that. You can back up an entire device and restore it to a whole nother iPad if you wanted to, for instance. In fact, some of the people who have purchased Discade have tweeted at me and they've been like, hey, I've been using these in my business to restore iPads for our different customers, and it works flawlessly. There's like a one or two click method to back up and restore an entire iTunes collection with all of your metadata, your album art, all that great stuff that you have saved on your device. Plus, you can store your, you know, chat logs, you can download notes, you can download your voicemails if you'd like, you can download photos and also upload photos to your device. Discade 5 lets you access the entire file system on your iPad, your iPod, your iPhone. I didn't even forget one of those this time. I feel like I always forget which one I forget.
Yeah,
you guys are silent as a crypt over there.
I was even listening.
I'm like trying to like get you guys to ad lib with me a little bit. You guys are just silent. You're like,
dude, I took a commercial break. I got a pair.
Actually, maybe I will leave that part in. You can hear my bloopers. I don't care. I'm an authentic individual. I'm gonna leave that in. You can hear that blooper all day long. I want you guys to try out Discade. Head over to digidna.net, click on the giant Discade 5 logo, download it. You can use it for free. There's a lot of great basic functionality. Now, if you love Discade and decide you want to unlock some of the more advanced features, enter the code THECULTCAST at checkout, and you're going to get 30% off your order. Makes it about $17 and some change, which is, of course, an amazing price for a great piece of software. And we're going to be giving away two free licenses, as we always do, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecultcast. Head over there, tell us why you deserve a license. And hey, I did forget to actually announce the winners last time we did this, which people have actually been reminding me of. So we're going to be giving away four different licenses. So make sure you head over to our page and tell me why you deserve a copy of Discade 5, and thank you DigiDNA for sponsoring the show. Normally I'm flawless in my execution of those ads. Would you guys agree?
No, not at all.
It's a little bit shaky sometimes.
I hate you guys. Let's move on. Hey, let's talk about the other items that we're expecting at the event. Teardrop shaped IMAX.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Buster?
You know, I wrote one of those articles on it. And,
you did.
I have a hard time, like, really believing that rumor. I don't know if I don't know why they would need to make an iMac teardrop shaped. But Dan Draper did make like a really great graphic on what it would look like for us. I don't know. I don't know how much they can really change with the iMac other than making it thinner by dropping the optical drive.
Well, yeah. I mean, is that something that you guys think is feasible? Because Apple, I think, is making a huge transition away from optical drives, obviously, with the Retina display MacBook Pros. I mean, but they still offer it, right? They still offer a an optical drive version. So it's kind of up in the air. I mean, could you guys see them moving away from the optical drive on such a popular consumer machine?
Oh yeah, definitely, because they'll just sell you the SuperDrive separately for, you know, $80 or whatever it is.
I guess that's a good point, right? And with the App Store, like, why would you really need to be installing software from a disk anyway? Right. And how many people are burning DVDs these days?
Well, the iMac, the Mac Mini, I'm sorry, it doesn't have an optical drive, and that's what I use for my main machine right now with a monitor, and I never use a CD. So dropping the optical drive wouldn't be a bad thing.
Huh. Well, it's been 530 plus days now since the last iMac refresh. I think we're going to see a new iMac. I think it's going to be totally redesigned. It's going to be thinner, obviously, especially if they get rid of the optical drive. For those expecting a Retina display, I don't know if you guys agree with me on this. I don't think we have a chance of seeing that anytime soon.
Well, is it already somewhat Retina?
Yeah, you don't really even... You don't need it on a desktop machine, really. Like, a Retina desktop, because you're what, like 20 to 36 inches away from your screen, so it's not that big of a deal.
I think it already is Retina if you assume it's like 2.5-3 feet away.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I can, you know, like right now I'm looking at my 27-inch monitor and I'm about 2 feet away and I can't really distinguish pixels or anything, so I don't know if Retina would make a huge difference on an iMac just yet.
Hmm. Well, regardless, I know there's a lot of people out there waiting for new iMacs, so that's exciting news. I'm kind of expecting a hardware bomb at this event, because there's a lot of hardware that hasn't been updated in a while, and this is the perfect time to do it right before the holiday season. We're also expecting 13-inch MacBook Pros with Retina displays, and we're also expecting new iPad minis, right? So, I'm sorry, not iPad minis. Mac minis, thank you. Yes,
I was like, we covered that.
You're like, yeah, we already talked about those. New Mac minis. So, Buster, are you excited about that? Any inclination to upgrade to the new Mac mini?
No, I'll be dishing my... I have a Mac mini because I've been waiting 500-something days for them to come out.
For a new iMac.
Like, so that's like what I care about the most.
Gotcha. And we really don't have very much information about the Mac Mini, especially. Of course, that's kind of a niche device, right? I mean, how many people are really excited for a new Mac Mini?
Right. So, I doubt if they update it, they probably won't even say anything. It'll just be a silent update.
There you go. And I'm going to make my prediction right now. It's going to have some type of aluminum on the outside, and it will be sans optical drive.
That's how it already looks.
Exactly. See, I'm right already. So there you go. So we're expecting all sorts of new stuff on Tuesday, October 23rd. And it's going to be great. It's going to be a good time to buy a Mac, especially if you guys have been waiting for that 13-inch MacBook Pro or the iMac. I know there's a lot of you have been waiting for that stuff a long time because you keep asking me when it's going to happen. And I keep emailing my friend Tim Cook, but he hasn't gotten back to me yet. So
yeah, he's so rude sometimes.
He's just like, hey, y'all, I'm really busy. I'll get back to you. Cool. So, hey, let's wrap up the show with one of my favorite segments, Faves and Raves, the game where we pitch our favorite tech and apps and then vote on which one's best. Do you guys have picks?
Oh, yeah.
Did you just make it in the last 10 seconds?
I've actually got two. You can have one of mine if you want.
No, 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 because yours are never.
All right,
that
great. I got it. Okay.
Yeah, was that the sandwich you just ate?
Yeah.
My pick this week is pastrami sandwich. So let me start because I always make you guys start. So I'll go first this time, so Buster has time to pick one that's better than mine, as he always does on the fly. So mine's an app this week. I haven't done an app in a little while, and it's called SpinCam. Leander, you're gonna hate this and think it's. totally pointless. So Leander's Leander, SpinCam's an app that is it's a camera app, and you basically install it, and what you can do with it is move your iPhone around a person, an object of some kind, and then it creates like a 3D VR image of that. You know, like real estate agencies used to use like those VR images to like show you around homes. You could do like 360 views and stuff. It does exactly that, but it works much better. And then in the app itself, you can view other people's spin cams that they've made. And also, you can post it online, although it uses Flash to post the videos so that you can interact with it. And it's cool because you can hover over an image and you can move it back and forth. And it's just really fun to play around with. I always like seeing new innovative camera apps. It's free. So I know a lot of you will not spend even a dollar downloading an app. So that's the best price, right? Free. And you should try it out. If you like camera apps, it's really fun. And especially if you are under the age of 16, you're going to have a blast with this app.
Can you output it as well? Can you output 3D models to print out on a 3D printer?
Probably, but not with this app.
Like, it's possible.
Did you hear the price, Leander? It's free.
Well, there's another free one, and I forget who it is, but there's another free one that's actually sort of built for making 3D models.
Oh, really?
And it's by AutoCAD, right? AutoCAD's has a free app.
All you need to do is buy a $50,000 printer.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, no, there's the new MakerBot that's coming out. You know, it just came out, but I think they're on back order. But there's a $2,000 MakerBot machine that looks really good, really high resolution, much higher than previous generation stuff. And with the AutoCAD app, you can spin it around your head and then tidy up that model on your desktop and then use that to make a...
That would actually be pretty cool. I want one of those giant heads of my face on my desk.
Well, you can make your own little action figure, you know, put it on a GI Joe.
That would be great.
And dress it up like, you know, some kind of stripper and put it in a little pole diorama.
So it's lifelike. Yeah. Well, hey, why don't you tell us about your favorite rave pick, though?
Well, I was going to choose my son's iPod Touch because I really think it's... I'm really impressed with it. I really think it's awesome.
Oh, but man.
I'll actually go with an app too.
Okay, fantastic.
Which I've been playing with it for a few days. Track 8. It's an alternative to the music app, the built-in music app in iOS. Mm-hmm. And it actually looks a lot like the old Zune interface. So it's a
good thing, right?
Well, I actually think it is. I think it's a really, 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 really good interface.
Huh?
I think it's really, really attractive, and it's really easy to use.
That's like 9 reallys. You really like this app.
I do like it a lot. I thought the Zoom is like unfairly denigrated. I thought by the end, you know, the last version of the Zoom was a really, really super nice piece of hardware. But the software was even better. I know people are going to hate me for saying this.
I kind of agree with you. I thought the Zoom was good. It just kind of was late to the market, right?
Oh, it was doomed. Yeah, they never stood a chance. But it's a shame. It was the kind of thing... Microsoft were caught in the position that Steve Jobs was caught in for most of his career with the Mac. You know, he hated it that the Mac was overshadowed by Windows, which he thought was a vastly inferior product.
Uh-huh.
And the Mac, you know, shone, but nobody wanted, you know, nobody cared. And I think Microsoft was kind of in that situation with the Zune. I wouldn't say it was superior to the iPod, but it was definitely a really solid rival. And it had a lot of things going for it, which I think, you know, and strangely for Microsoft, aesthetically it was better. And I think Track 8 is in the same boat. I think Track 8 is aesthetically much better than the built-in app for iOS.
I'm gonna try this out.
It's a really nice looking app. It's really easy to navigate. It's really easy to search. It's got some great transitions. Like I had a lot of fun playing.
Oh, it's $1.99. What do you think I am, rich?
Yeah. Well, take it from your your podcast royalties.
Oh yeah,
this thing my just like of Zune.
It is just like Zune.
Wow, it really does. Ooh. Yeah, it looks exactly like Zune.
I don't know if I like it.
Should call it Zune 8. Okay, Buster, what's your pick?
All right, it seems how you guys did apps. I was going to do hardware.
Okay, that's fine.
Hold on, but I have a different app that I've been playing around with. It's called Mirrorgram or whatever.
Mirror gram.
Hold on, let me find it on my phone.
I kind of like this idea of you guys saying it, and then I actually just look it up real fast.
Yeah. I just played with your stupid app already.
I told you I was going to lose before we started the show.
This one's not too much cooler. It just like has a bunch of different mirrors, so you can do stupid effects. Rather than like trying to manipulate your photo in like a editing program, you can just take it with a mirror effect instead. Kind of like in Photo Booth.
I was going to say, this looks like a Photo Booth app for the iPhone.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. So you can do, I don't know, I've seen some people do some pretty cool things with it, though. You know, just make weird symmetrical shapes and stuff through the mirrorgram. Mm-hmm. App. So if you're creative, you can use it and make something cool. But it's
I'm glad that it's free, because you're probably going to use it 10 times and then never open it.
And then you're
again.
Like, oh, all right. Got 10 of those in my Instagram feed.
Yeah, right. All right, cool. Well, Buster, who sounds cooler? And you can have the tie-breaking vote if we need it.
You know what? I think this swing camera could actually be useful in some instances. Oh. So I'm going to vote for that one.
Cool. What? Leander, what do you got? What do you think?
What do you think? There's I mean, I can't believe you would betray me like that.
You're fired.
Crikey.
Sorry, Your Majesty. What do you think?
Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to go for my own. I think Truck 8's awesome.
You forgot the rules. You can't vote for your own.
Okay, well.
So you want to go with Swing Cam then?
No. I'll go with Buster's mirror thing.
Yeah.
Are you actually going to use Mirror Gram?
No, but I'm not
going to. You're just doing it out of spite for mine. Yeah. You know, I'm actually going to vote for yours, Leander, because even though you smote me there, I like different apps that that let you play music on your phone, and I've been using an app currently called Groove, but I've been looking for something different to play around with, because believe it or not, I actually still have music in my iTunes collection. So I think that means that Buster gets the tie-breaking vote, right? Because we all voted for something different.
Does that mean I won? Like, I can vote for myself on that tiebreaker, right?
Sure.
All right, I win then.
You know, honestly, have we ever needed a tie-breaking vote before? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
And I'm glad that you decided to vote for your own, even though you liked mine. Okay, cool. Well, that's it. That's all the time what we have for today. You know, if you want, the conversation continues on Twitter. You can follow Buster. You heard how clever and witty he is. You should definitely do that. He's BST3R. Leander has all sorts of wisdom to share with you on Twitter. He's L. Caney, and me, I just tweet Instagram pictures and animated GIFs that I really like. I'm at Airfawn. You can also follow Cult of Mac for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple. That's just Cult of Mac. And join our Facebook page. Join the conversation, facebook.com/TheCultCast. I want to thank DigiDNA for sponsoring the show. As I mentioned, they are our longest time sponsor, and we really appreciate them and their sponsorship. Check out Discade 5, and don't forget to tell us on our Facebook page why you deserve a license. This has been The CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of The CultCast come out every Thursday night. Thanks for listening. We will see you guys next time.
Okay, very nice.
Good job, King.
Yeah.
You're so kingly, Leander. It's such an appropriate title for you, especially because I know you walk around dressed in purple robes.
I should do, shouldn't I? I want everyone to get some.
And you speak so eloquently. And
I speak like a toff.
Like a what?
A toff.
What's that? Sounds like something from Star Wars.
Toffee-nosed elitist. Toff. Have you heard that? Toff?
No. That's
no.
Some British.
That's what they call the upper, the upper classes. Toffs.
I love it. Hey, Leander, why doesn't the UK have a king? I know this is probably some type of history thing that I should know, but
yeah, this is definitely a history thing you should know.
You mean why isn't the Queen's husband called the king?
Yeah. There you go.
Well, because I guess if he was called the king, he'd be the dude in charge.
And yeah,
and he's not. She is.
Yeah.
He's some German that she married.
Yeah, he doesn't have any royal blood, right, Leander?
I'm not 100% sure. He definitely,
he's an aristocrat, but
yeah, he's
like, so are you telling me the Queen of England is a usurper?
A what?
A usurper? What? Do you guys not know what that means?
Usurper.
I mean, like a...
Did she take her power illegitimately? Why doesn't Britain have a king?
Well, okay, haven't you seen what was that one show with Colin Firth where he won the Oscar? Didn't you watch that?
I like how my education starts with, haven't you seen this movie? Yes, I did see that. It was a great movie.
That explains it all.
The King's Speech.
The King's Speech,
yeah, the
thank
King's
you.
Speech, you yeah. know, whatever so his my name.
My brother just explained to me it's because of the lineage, right?
Oh.
He's not, I mean, he would be the king if he was directly descended from previous kings.
Ah, so it's not because he has a stutter.
No.
Well, no. I'm going to stop telling people that. When they ask me about why Britain doesn't have a king, I'll be like, didn't you know he has a stutter? He can't do it.
How come you guys always ask me questions about, you know, the British aristocracy and the you know, the last time it was, I made a complete idiot of myself talking about the peerage, right? And
you didn't. I don't think so. Well, I mean, I think probably 90% of our audience lives in the UK.
Tell me about punk music and
it's fascinating, though, for Americans.
Yeah, I think it is. It's very fascinating to me, too. And plus, I just feel like British people are so funny. You know, like they always make me laugh.
Funny.
So, yeah, exactly. And all your sayings and stuff, like I want
like tougher.
Some, yeah, and bangers and mash.
Tough. tough. It's tough. Are you excited about the new Bond movie?
Actually, I am kind of excited about it.
It looks awesome.
Hey, you guys want me to give you an awesome tip? You guys are going to love this. So I have, in the last 3 months, I have not been paying for any movies. And yet I get free passes before they go on sale. There's this whole subculture of movie screenings that happens all over the U.S. Yeah. And do you know about this, Buster?
Yeah, yeah.
And
I've gone to a couple. It's awesome.
It's awesome, right? So you can follow, I think on Twitter, it's at screenings. Let me see, screenings. And they have local ones, too. So I have one called WA Screenings. And all they do is tell you when these studios are releasing free movie tickets because they're doing a screening, and they always need to pack the theater, right? So they give away free tickets for all these movies weeks before they come out, and then you get to go for free and see the movies as long as you can see them on like a weekday night. It's always on like a Wednesday yeah. or a Thursday. In fact, I'm going to see a movie tonight. I forget which one because I've been seeing so many lately. But if you want to go to free movies, this is a great way to do it. Just follow at screenings on Twitter. And then they'll tell you when they come out. You just download the tickets or print them, and you're good to go. No more paying for movies because movies are expensive these days.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially in San Francisco, right?
Yeah, right.
How much is it now? Like $45 a ticket?
Well, yeah, and yeah, exactly. It is. It's like, I don't know. It's for an adult, 16, 17.
How many quid is that?
25 quid. I don't remember. No, it's like 15 quid. No, 10 quid.
10 quid. Okay,
which is a lot.
Is yeah, that a, yeah. How much is that?
Well, it's about $78.
That's about $800.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Hey, fill that list last part in. Keep it in.
Oh, for sure. That's probably the best part of the show.
Just put it at the front. Yeah.
Yeah. Put it at the front. Like the first 15 minutes of the show is just us talking about British people and movies that. You should go see.
I like that the best.
Actually, I do too.